All right, so this morning we're wrapping up a series that we've been going through for the past 3 or 4 months. And the series we called Rediscover, partially because along with the series, we were walking through a workbook in our table groups and as individuals called Discovery. And so the goal of this series has been to really focus on the foundational truths of our faith. And kind of our goal has been to say, okay, let's go back to square one and talk about what are the basic fundamental truths that everything we believe is built on, right? And so we started off, and you can see on the papers over here, we started off talking about what is the gospel and what is grace and why is it necessary and what, how does it work? And then once it works, what does that mean? Like, what does it mean for us to be in the gospel and in grace? And so we talked about that for several weeks. And then we moved on from there to talk about, okay, so if we're in the gospel and we're in grace, how do we grow in it? And so we talked about important things like the role of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talked about prayer, and we talked about the Bible, and we talked about the church and how all of those things are essential components, essential elements to how we grow in grace. And then the past few weeks, we've been talking about, okay, so now if we're growing in grace, what does it look like to live by grace in light of the place we live, in the world we live in? What does it look like to live by grace in the real world? And so we started talking about the fact that one of the kind of pictures we need to keep in mind is the reality that as we walk through the world, it's not so much as tourists, but as soldiers. We talked about the fact that as soldiers, we have to be aware, we have to be on our toes, and we have to recognize that there are things out there that want to harm us and to harm our faith and to harm grace, right? So we talked about the world, we talked about the flesh, we talked about the devil, right? And then last week we talked about, okay, so what about as we're trying to live in this world, how do we live and how do we make decisions on things that don't seem so black and white? On issues that seem a little gray, on issues that maybe even Christians disagree, how do we navigate those and what does it look like? What drives our decisions on those kinds of issues? So we talked about that. This week, as we wrap up our last week, we're talking about, okay, so now what do we do with this as it relates to the people who don't share our faith? In other words, if God has called us into his family by grace and made us a part of his family, he's also challenged us, called us to share that truth with others, right? Dalen alluded to Acts 1:8 earlier, right? And we, in Acts 1:8, you know, Jesus has died, he's been crucified, he's been resurrected, and now he appears to his disciples and he says this, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so the question we wrestle with this morning is, what does it mean to be a witness? What does it look like to be a witness? How does that work and how do we do it well, right? We've related to this, just so you know, JT has been working on a project for the church relative to how do we live this out in practical ways as a church. And so over the next few months, you'll be hearing more about that. But today we want to talk about, like, as individuals, what does it look like to be a witness? And so when we talk about being a witness, there's a word that most of you have probably heard, I'm guessing. And it's a word that may bring up a variety of emotions or feelings or thoughts or images to your head, right? For some, it's like a scary word. It's the word evangelism, right? So here's the first question. So this morning, we're going to do a lot of interaction. So just know that, right? Like, y'all pay attention because y'all are going to be answering a lot of questions. But the first question is this. When you hear the word evangelism, like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What is it an idea? Is it a thought? Is it a feeling? Is it an emotion? What, when you hear the word evangelism, what do you think of?
Billy Graham, okay? Didn't expect to hear that. All right.
Someone on Bourbon Street.
A Bourbon Street bullhorn. Okay.
My first thought kind of captures both of those. It could be real good or real bad.
Okay.
Someone, I need to keep this, don't I? So people on Zoom can hear. Someone else? Talking to people, okay? The end of the earth? Who said, Jackie said that? The ends of the earth. Gotcha. There's a difference, right? Somewhat. Ends of the earth. Like, it does, it makes a, the S does make a difference. I was like, okay, in the end of the earth, okay? The ends of the earth, like Acts 1:8. Excellent. Someone else? Aggressive. Oh, that's a good word. Power? No, that's good. JT. Jehovah, like the group, right? Jehovah's Witness. That's what you're referring to? Okay. Yeah, because they are. Yeah, they're. All right. Miss Francis. Special calling, not for everybody. All right, we're gonna have to unpack that, Miss Francis. You know, I know you. That's why you said it. But I know enough. Well, we will. I got this, bro. We're gonna unpack that. All right, let's do this now. Let's focus more on these are ideas. These are concepts. Let's get a little real. Let's talk about what you feel when you think about being an evangelist. Intimidated. Okay. Unlikable. Okay.
Nauseous.
That's real.
Unqualified.
I heard another word too. Unsure and unqualified, okay? What you got, Miss Francis? I saw you putting your hand up. What was it?
Joyous.
Joyous. All right. Joyous.
Common vocabulary.
Okay. Common, like, yeah. Getting on the same page, meaning the same thing by words. Is that? Yep.
As a conversation start.
Right. How do you find that common ground to build on? Okay. You feel like it's an imperative? Okay.
I'll add commandment to that.
Okay. Commandment, imperative. Anyone else? Any other feelings come? Nervous. That leads to the nausea, is that? I heard exhilarating.
I was going to say kind of exhilarating, joyous, rewarding.
Rewarding. Okay. Any others? All right, that's good. That's a good start, right? All right, now let's talk about this. And this will be related to this list. Let's talk about another question. When you think of sharing your faith with someone who doesn't share your faith, what are your biggest obstacles? Like what's the thing? What's
lack of common ground,
okay?
I guess my point was more
related to this. That's fine, no worries. Cultural, elaborate. Cultural baggage was what she said for those on Zoom.
Yeah, so I think people have an idea of what they think of faith. Mm-hmm. Not
okay, so yeah. So the culture has a picture or a perception of what we believe, and people carry that, and that's something you have to deal with. Yeah, good. Oversimplification. Good. Okay.
Certain parts of the world.
Yep, absolutely, it can be. Yeah, that's a good one. Not today. Political was what she said. What was that?
LOL.
Someone else. What are the obstacles? What are the hurdles?
It's threatening. You know, with great relationships, if you try to talk to somebody and this happens to me all the time, you know, with people who differ, it's like there's a threat to the relationship because they you know, you got your opinion, I got mine. There's not really the truth, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it can feel like a risk to the relationship to take that step and to have that conversation. Good, yeah. Emotions, yeah, just the emotions we bring to it. Good.
Some.
Okay, yeah, so unable to answer questions or hard questions. Good. Someone on the other side was starting to say something. Satan. Yep. Just boil it all down. That's good. Jackie, did you have something too? No. Oh, Kat.
I was going to say lack of credibility.
Lack of like feeling like you yourself don't have credibility?
Like, yeah.
Okay. Lack of credibility. All right, good. Is that a good list? Good list. Oh, did you have one, LaToy?
Yeah, negative. Lack of open-minded.
Lack of, on the part of others?
Yeah, the part of others.
Uh-huh. All right, good. That's good. That's a good list. That's a good list. That's a good start for us to start to build on. So here's the first question we have to answer. We're going to talk about evangelism. What is it? So when you think about, we have an idea, we have feelings about it, but what is evangelism? How would you describe it or define it?
Sharing Christ.
Sharing Christ. Anyway, yeah, JT. Okay, so it's a responsiveness to God's leading. Okay. Wow. Caring for people is what she said. Someone else. It's an act of obedience. Okay. Is it words or deeds? That's a question. I'm not. What? It's both. Okay. I'm sorry, what was that? Okay, so there needs to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Alignment? Yeah, that's a good word. Alignment of our words and our deeds. In other words, if we're not living a life that pictures, models, the words we're speaking, we may lack credibility. Okay? Okay, I'm going to write it and then I have a question for you. Meeting people's actual needs. Define actual for me, Hannah.
Like actually making an effort to understand what they really need, not just assuming that we know without talking to them.
Okay.
I probably would narrow that down to meeting the real need.
So, you know, we do all these other things and they don't know that they need Jesus.
Right.
And so we're sharing, help them to kind of understand that they have this real need. And what my mind goes to is the fact that God has created us with a vacuum that can only be filled by Him. And so we're trying to fill these vacuums with all these other things that really is not going to fill that vacuum that He created for you to be filled with Him. So that's what I call the real need.
The real need. So, okay, so what Ms. Francis is saying is that we all have a God-shaped need in our life, and we use lots of other things to try and fill that need, but we'll always be frustrated and disappointed because we avoid the one thing that will actually fill the need. Okay, that's what Ms. Francis is saying. Is that what you're alluding to, Hannah?
Yeah, I'm also thinking about Jesus and how He, knew both the spiritual and the physical need when He met those.
Yep, good. So there's a great book that deals with this question. It's called Preach and Heal, which I think is what you're saying, Hannah, that Jesus, He did both, right? Now, here's what's interesting. Oftentimes, when we talk about evangelism, I've felt this at times, I've done this at times, and I've heard others do this. Because of this issue, where was it? Words and deeds, right? This need for alignment, this need for congruity between our words and our deeds. Oftentimes, what I have done is said, well, I'm going to live a life that will testify to what I believe. And hopefully people will see it, right? Is that enough? Is that evangelism? There's some disagreement, right? Like some people going, yeah, some people going, no, not so much, right? Okay. Yeah, that's a good word for it, discernment, related to what JT said earlier, right? This idea that we are responding to God's leading, but recognizing that there are times for words, there are times for deeds, but when it comes to evangelism, like the words have to be shared, right? Go to Romans chapter 10 with me. Let me get into some scripture here. Romans chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 14. We'll start in verse 13. Paul says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So anyone who calls out on the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? See, oftentimes this passage is used to champion, to promote, to talk about the importance of mission work, right? And like sending people overseas to reach the people that have never heard, which is very important, very necessary, absolutely crucial. We're doing it, we should be doing it. But sometimes what happens is we think it only refers to that and we don't think it refers to us in New Orleans, right? That there's a necessary element that the gospel is a message that's meant to be heard, understood. Because the word evangelism actually finds its roots. It was not a Christian word, so to speak. It finds its roots in history when a king was going out to do battle, right? And the king, if he was successful, he would send someone home with good news, right? The kingdom is expanding. We won, right? That was an evangelist. The term has now been kind of adopted and very much Christianized, I would say. To apply this idea of what is the good news that we have to share. Now, our lives should align with the good news, but the news still has to be shared, right? The words have to be received and understood, okay? So that when we talk about evangelism, we're talking about living a life that lends credibility to our words, but we're not using our life as a scapegoat to not speak the words. Like, there's an important element that we, a role we play. Now, I think this will be a fun question. What is your goal in evangelism? Okay. She, Aaron said, plant the seed. Someone said, share. To be obedient. JT, you were stick. It was obedience, okay. Introduce someone to God. When you say introduce, do you mean like introduce the concept, or them like be happy with the, you know, like what do you mean when you say introduce? So you want them to meet God, okay? Yeah, Latoya. Conversion. Okay, anyone else? Your goal in evangelism. Ooh, that's a good one, Aaron. She said, build curiosity for the Zoomers. Sorry. To build the kingdom of God. To expand the kingdom, to bring new people into the kingdom. Now.
Rescue people.
Rescue. That's a good word. Rescue. Ooh, now you're being too real. She, by the way, what was shared was win an argument, if we're being honest, which is important, right? To be honest. Yeah, okay. Sometimes we have feel the need to prove a point, or prove that what we believe is not insane or crazy or anything like that. Good. Any other thoughts? Our goal in evangelism? It's interesting because, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's interesting because, I'm really glad to see some of the words that were used because. So if you've ever done any like learning, study, reading about what goals are, right, and how to set good goals, right? What are the kinds of things they tell you about goals? Like goals should be SMART goals, right? Specific, measurable, attainable. Yeah, it's something. And then time based, realistic. That's the R. Realistic. That's the R. So here's the challenge when you think about the goal of evangelism. We have to think, I phrased the question very specifically. I didn't say what is the goal of evangelism. I said is what is your goal in evangelism? Because our goal depends on what we can attain, right? We can't attain conversion. God can, and he can use us to do it, but if we go into evangelism thinking my goal is conversion, I'm going to be frustrated a lot of times, and I'm probably going to start to not do it because I'm going to feel like a failure. Huh? What did you say? Oh, you didn't have your. Okay, good. No, but it's a good, because I think most people would think, like, my goal is to see someone, yeah, like, I want somebody to change their mind. I want them to get converted. I want them to think differently of me. I want them to think differently of my God. And not all of that is something we can attain. Like, what we can attain is plant the seed. We share. We can attain obedience. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I love that this is actually a passage where Paul is going after the Corinthians, as he often needs to do, and he's going after them because there's factions growing in the church, and the factions are growing not because of Paul and Apollos. They're growing because people are ignorant and sinful, right? But they're using Paul and Apollos as like their reference point. And so the factions in the church, some are lining up, well, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos, right? And it's creating division within the church. And so Paul is dealing with that. Look at what he says in verse 4 of chapter 3. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, here's the key, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his conversions. It's not what it says, is it? Each will receive his labor wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And so when we think about evangelism and what our goal is, in evangelism, we have to keep this perspective that our goal is to do what God has called us to do. That's to share, that's to testify, that's to witness, that's to speak. God has to do the rest, right? And that takes an immeasurable amount of pressure off of us. Like, it's not up to me to convince. It's not up to me to convert. It's not up to me to change. It's not up to me to win. It's not up to me for any of that. That I just go, hey, I just got to tell you what happened to me, right? And I got to let God work and God do what God can only do, right? So that's the goal. All right, so we've talked about what is evangelism. We talked about what is our goal in evangelism. Let's talk about our role in evangelism. What is our role in evangelism? Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, in order to really understand this passage, you have to understand who Peter's writing to. Like, it's easy for us to read 1 Peter and think, well, Peter's writing to people like us who are, you know, living in a world like us. He's not. Right. Peter is writing to people who are being persecuted, like legit persecuted, not like Fox News persecuted, like killed for their faith, right? So Peter's writing to these people. And listen to what he says. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. I'm sorry, verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. We'll look at the end of verse 14. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Right? Don't fear them, don't be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So what is our role in evangelism? It's to be ready to speak, right? And this can be challenging because, and someone mentioned this, I think, in the obstacle. I think maybe it was Aaron mentioned, you know, inability to answer the hard questions, right? Inability to answer every question, right? And I don't think that's necessarily what Peter's telling us here. Like, he's not saying you have to be ready to answer every question that might ever be raised, right? What does he say? Be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, right? That now, here's the key. He's assuming you've got some hope, and he's assuming other people can see it, right? Now, that's a whole nother topic we can talk about, right? Like, are we living lives that show people we have a hope that maybe they don't have? Now, here's the part that kind of stinks about that question. Usually people can't see the hope you have when things are going well, because you don't need no hope when things are going well. So when this really comes to work is when things are not going well, and people are looking at you saying, how are you? I don't know how you're doing it, but you're walking through this in a way that I would not be able to walk through this. Peter says, when that happens, be ready to tell them why you have the hope. It's not complicated. They're already asking. It's not challenging. It's not intellectual. It's, how are you walking through this? In the way you're walking through this, Peter says, just be ready to tell them why. It just Jesus. Like, it's not complicated, right? That the Jesus that is in me is bigger than all the stuff around me. And that's what enables me to walk through it. Peter says, that's our role. It's not to master every argument, every question. Now, that is important, and there are people who are gifted to do that and should do that and do that, and we're thankful for them. But that's not what God's calling all of us to do. He's just saying, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. Live a life that shows that you have hope. And then when somebody says, there's something different, don't back down. Tell them what's different, because they ain't asking if they don't want it. That's the reality of that. Like, when people come with that question, that's like a softball. It's like, what's the hope that you have? Well, you wouldn't be asking if you didn't want it, right? So let me just tell you what it is. That's our role. Now, all right, we're good. All right. What's the first and most important step in evangelism? Let's have some conversation about this one. Okay, assuming you know Jesus. Let's assume you know Jesus. Okay, good point. That's fair. All right. Assuming you know Jesus, then what is the first and most important step in evangelism? Obey. Okay.
Building relationships.
Building relationships.
Willingness.
Wow, that's good, Alessio. Loving the person in front of you. Okay. Okay. Seeking wisdom from God, is that?
Yes.
Okay. Just what's the first, assuming you're a Christian, assuming you, what is the first and most important step of evangelism? Living your life for Christ, so that the words and the deeds are congruent. Someone else. Anyone else? I got y'all on this one.
How about knowing what you actually believe?
Knowing what you believe.
Okay, so and have that belief grounded in something that you can actually believe. Like, have it grounded in scripture. I mean, experience is one thing, you know, because when you...
So knowing what you believe and biblically why you believe it. Okay, all right. Esther, what were you going to say? Okay. Knowing where your hope lies. Okay. Knowing it's God's work. Anyone else? Somebody came close, I think. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to go to two passages. Ephesians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul, okay, writing to the people of Ephesus, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So Paul's saying, y'all pray for everybody. Pray for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The first, the most important step of evangelism is prayer. I know this. When I'm not praying, I'm not evangelizing. That's just the fact of the matter for me, right? Go to Colossians chapter 4, just a page over, or page or two. Colossians 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. Again, this is Paul asking for prayer, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. So this is the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote down all these words we spend our lives reading and studying, and he says, pray that I would speak with clarity, that I would evangelize clearly. Pray that I would have boldness. Pray that I would have eyes to see, right? Pray that I would take advantage of the opportunities. Prayer is essential to our work in evangelism. Okay, so what Ms. Francis is saying is that the Ephesians 6 passage where Paul's talking about the armor of God, is that presumes, or that Paul's prayer is presuming that the armor is put on, but prayer is a part of that armor, that oftentimes when we think about the armor, we don't think about prayer. It's great. Good job. Good word. So the first step we take in thinking about evangelism is we pray. We pray for people. We pray for opportunities. We pray for clarity. We pray for courage. We pray for wisdom. We pray for open doors. These are all things Paul told people, hey, y'all pray for me for this, right? And so why would we not do the same thing, right? Why would we not do that with him? Okay, finally. And really, at the base of it all, what's the message of evangelism? And I want to do this because there's lots of tools out there, lots of resources, right? If you grew up hearing about the Romans Road, or maybe you grew up seeing the Wordless Book or the Wordless Bracelet, or maybe you grew up, you know, there's tons of different resources out there. And they're all can all be good, all be useful, all be helpful. I want to give you just a simple one passage and three words to remember that I think boil down the gospel to its essence. Okay, go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, we often talk about Romans chapter 3, verse 23 when we talk about sharing the gospel. But we don't always include the next few verses. In verse 22, Paul starts, he says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The first point to understand relative to the gospel is sin. That sin is a reality for all of us, and that sin separates us from God. Verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The first point is sin. The second point is substitution. That our sin has earned a penalty. It has earned a wage, is what Paul says later in Romans, right? And that someone has to take our place and pay that penalty, to suffer that consequence in our place. Jesus does so as our substitute. Sin, substitution. This, the last part of verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. That passage boils down the essence of the gospel beautifully for us. Sin, substitution, faith. That's the only three points we have to remember. That captures the essence of the gospel for us. That we are separated from God, we need a substitute. Jesus was that substitute, and all we can do is believe that in faith. That's all we can do. And if we do that, then the scripture says we're made right with God. We're reconciled with God. We become his ambassadors of reconciliation at that point. Sin, substitution, faith. Now, that's kind of the big picture. That's everything we wanted to walk through today. What questions do you have? What are you still wondering about, wrestling with, thinking about, feeling? Anything? Yeah, LaToya. Who provides accountability for evangelism? That's a good question. What do y'all think? Who holds us responsible to do that? Yeah. I mean, ultimately, our accountability is to God, right? Our responsibility is to God. But the opportunity we have as brothers and sisters is not only to provide accountability, to provide responsibility, to provide encouragement, to push one another along, to encourage one another along in this process of not only understanding, but of, hey, who are you praying for, right? Like, who are you praying for right now that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't share your faith? If there's not someone you're praying for regularly, and I don't mean like every day you're remembering, but like if there's not someone you're regularly thinking about and praying for and seeking God for an opportunity, seeking God for wisdom, that's a great first step. Like that's a great thing we can do, right? Good question. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, how do we, if we need a foundation, like a scriptural foundation for our beliefs and for what we believe, how does that interact with the influence of society and culture on our beliefs? That's a big question. So, but it's an important one, right? Because what we all have to recognize, and part of what we talked about when we talked about the world, is that we live in this world, and this world has a system of beliefs that is contrary to God's,
right?
That is opposed to God's, and that world has an influence on us. And the word Paul uses is that world is trying to conform us to its quote-unquote truth, right? And the role we play, Paul says, is that we need to make sure that our minds are being renewed, being transformed. By the word of God, right? And so it's a process of consistently, continually being renewed, being transformed by the word of God, recognizing that if we're not, we're being squeezed, is the word. When Paul uses that word conform, that the world is trying to squeeze us into its mold, and we've got to constantly fight that. And the way we fight that is by engaging the word of God continually, constantly, faithfully, letting it transform our mind and transform our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. finding that joy and pleasure in a positive way. You know, because you are interacting with the world and their idea of what's good and what's bad.
Yeah. It does. And the reality of like our the community we immerse ourselves in can encourage us, can give us life and hope and energy. That's an important word too. Like, because there is I think someone mentioned earlier when we were talking about obstacles and things like that, like people have a perception of what Christians are, and there's cultural baggage around what Christians are. And a lot of people think it's political, right? And so the life we live, like we talked about with Peter, has to be one that gives people a picture of hope, right? A picture of joy. Miss Frances, you were going to say something. Good point. Yeah, I was like, you are? Right, that is the perception. Yes. Right. Ms. Francis referred to Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about the gifts that are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. A great example of this, I have a friend who is a very gifted evangelist. And here's what makes him unique. Most people think, well, you know, like either the pastors, the guys who get paid or who are, you know, they're supposed to be doing the evangelism, or there are people who are gifted to do evangelism and they're supposed to do the evangelism. Neither are true, right? My friend who is gifted as evangelism recognizes that his gift is so that he can help others evangelize.
Yeah.
So he can help come alongside others and say, this is what it looks like, and this is how you do it, and that's normal to feel that way, and that's going to happen, and it's okay, right? And here's what it looks like to pray for someone, and here, pray with someone, and those kinds of things, that it's an important step to remember that there are people who are gifted to do evangelism, but we're all called to do evangelism. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and that goes back to knowing the what you believe and why you believe it biblically, yeah, and being in community around it. Yeah, good stuff. All right. What's that? One more thing. Yeah. So when we talk about accountability, it's not a negative thing in the sense of like, oh, well, you either do it or like, here are the consequences.
Right.
It feels, I've heard the term used, it feels like a push, not a pull, right? Like we're not dragging you, like we're encouraging you, we're celebrating, we're pushing you to do it, recognizing that like Jackie said earlier, right? Like if we do it, God will work and it's exhilarating.
Yes. Yeah.
Like there's opportunities to see. Paul says when it happens, when someone experiences conversion, Paul says, you just saw a dead person come to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the opportunity, right? Doesn't happen every time. We may not ever know, There are people, I'm absolutely convinced there are people we have shared our faith with who we will never see again, who we will see in heaven, right? That's the beauty of God. That's the power of God and the work that can happen through His Spirit. Why don't you guys pray with me? Father, we are grateful that you have called us and chosen us as your children. You've brought us into your family, and you've given us the opportunity, God, to be your ambassadors, is what Paul calls us, to bring this news, this good news, this message to others who desperately need it. God, we pray that you would give us all hearts to pray for your Spirit to work in the lives who don't share our faith. That your Spirit would give us courage to live lives that are consistent with the truth we believe, and then to tell people why. To give them a reason for the hope that is in us, as Peter reminds us. God, give us the courage to believe that you can do this in us and through us. It's in your Son's name we pray.